May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, here we are, almost to the end of Lent. And that means that we are almost ready to begin a journey that lasts through the last days of Jesus' ministry on earth. The earliest records we have of Christians traveling to Jerusalem to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, from this meal in Bethany to the temple, to the Garden of Gethsemane, to Pilate's courtyard, to the cross itself, come hundreds of years after his death. So for centuries now, pilgrims have traveled to Jerusalem to live in their own small way these events in the life of Jesus and his first disciples. Our own pattern of marking the days of Holy Week comes from the places and actions of those pilgrims. They are attempts to allow all of us, those who could afford a pilgrimage and those of us who will never leave our village, to experience something of what Jesus and his disciples did. Most of these pilgrimages, and frankly most Holy Week celebrations, don't start with this story from the Gospel of John. Most of them don't start back here in Bethany with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. But the story of Jesus' relationship with these siblings is fascinating. Mary and Martha are probably best remembered for a story that appears about them in the Gospel of Luke. In this story, the two sisters seem to bicker, as sisters do, about the work of hosting Jesus and his disciples. It's a story that has probably played out in countless homes, at countless gatherings through the centuries. It's sometimes held up as a story to divide women, and people in general, into the worker bees and the contemplative dreamers. It's sometimes a story that we use to remind ourselves that Jesus saw a place for a woman in what would have traditionally been male space. In the Gospel of John, we encounter Mary and Martha again, and now learn that they have a brother, Lazarus. But Lazarus is ill and dying, and Jesus arrives in Bethany too late. Lazarus has already been entombed. But Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead in a story that full of the foreshadowing of Jesus' own life. And as you can imagine, this causes quite a stir. When the religious leaders of the day get a hold of the story, they panic a little. Here's Jesus, this no-count, uneducated guy from the backwaters of Nazareth, going around doing all of these signs and wonders and convincing people that maybe, just maybe, all the rules and regulations, all the religious pomp and circumstance, all the temple worship and the sacrifice, maybe it isn't necessary. Maybe God just wants to love the people and be loved by them, whoever they are and wherever they are. Unable to see God's movement in this new teaching, unable to let go of their privileged places, the religious leaders plot to kill Jesus. And so at first, Jesus goes into hiding. Think about that for a moment. Jesus waits for the time to be right. Or perhaps Jesus withdraws to a place near the wilderness to pray and to get his head around what is to come. Either way, he stays there until it is just before the Passover, a time when the Jewish community gathered in Jerusalem, a time of celebration with friends and family. And then Jesus returns to Bethany, to his friends and his family, to Mary and Martha and Lazarus. I wonder how much they all sensed that Jesus was on a mission that was leading him into violent conflict with religious leaders and the Roman Empire. I wonder if he'd already been talking and confiding in his closest friends about what was to come. And I wonder if Mary was one of those closest friends. If this story contained just the part about Mary anointing Jesus' feet and wiping them with her hair, it would be enough to fill volumes of commentary, spark thousands of poems and works of art. Because that image is so intense, so sensual, so intimate. And there's such a sense of foreboding with that image. Mary caring for Jesus' body in anticipation of his death. If you're going to start a riot or even a war in Jerusalem at the Passover, perhaps Mary thought they wouldn't be able to anoint his body for burial at all. Perhaps she feared they wouldn't get his body back. There is another piece of this story, one that hinges a bit on awkward grammar. When Jesus defends Mary to Judas, he says, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial," meaning the tub of perfume. But according to Susan Hyland, the New Testament professor at Emory University, the Greek literally says, "Leave her alone so that she may keep it," meaning the perfume, "for the day of my burial." But Mary seems to have already expended the perfume so that the whole house is filled with its scent. Although some interpreters posit some remaining perfume, it may be better to assume that the awkward grammar reflects this strange situation. The day of Jesus' burial begins now, even though he will not be buried for another week. So we might suggest that this is the moment when Jesus' death begins. This moment when he's at table with his friends, his disciples, people who love him. These last days of Jesus' earthly ministry are theologically dense and confusing. For us, just as they must have been for the first disciples. Who is Jesus, really? What do these events mean about the nature of God and suffering and love and power? What is a Messiah? Who are we waiting for? Those are some of the reasons why we tell this story over and over, year after year. The story keeps revealing things to us, keeps inviting us to know Jesus more deeply, keeps inviting us to know ourselves more deeply. So perhaps this is a year when you will hear this story and find yourself feeling mostly like Martha, serving at the table, but off to the side of the action. Perhaps still even struggling with that role as you did when Jesus visited your home before and you complained to him about how your sister never helped in the kitchen. Or perhaps having come to terms with your role. Perhaps this is a year when you will hear this story and find yourself captivated by Lazarus. What is it like to die and come back to life? Perhaps this is a year when the story's failure to share any of Mary's internal motivation leaves you pondering, what on earth was she really thinking? Perhaps you return again and again to Judas Iscariot, disciple and betrayer. Perhaps you share his fear of having sins revealed, or just his fear about not having enough. Perhaps you too are torn between the way things have always been, at least as long as you've known about it, and what God might be revealing to you through Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you find yourself somewhat disappointed in what Jesus is able to offer you, wishing that it would be something else, unable to see the gift in what is before you. Perhaps this is the year you will ponder in your heart the role of the poor. What does Jesus mean that they will always be with us? And what does it mean to us to refer to people in categories rather than as people? Wherever you find yourself in this story, I want to encourage you to enter in, to walk this journey. Next week, we begin in the hall, remembering Jesus entering into Jerusalem triumphantly. And then we'll hear that whole story that follows through his arrest and all the way to the crucifixion. it can be a hard story to stay in. Some of us will want to leap ahead to the resurrection. Some of us will just want to check out during this time. And those might be the right reactions for you. But if you can, stay with it. Dig in. Confront the places where you are confused or uncomfortable. Ponder the questions. Ask Jesus to show you what you need to know or to understand this year. And know that you do this work, you walk this journey with a long line of pilgrims who have come before us, who have tried to find in this story something that is transformative and compelling and life-giving. When we do this work, we stay with this story, remembering also the stories that came before it and the promises that God made of life for those who seek it. Water in deserts, resurrection, a resurrection life that we can all enter into. Amen.